From Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is the local edition. I'm Jason Dole. Thank you so much for being here with me on this election eve. Yes, election day is tomorrow. And if you haven't voted yet, boy, tomorrow's the day to do it. Well, coming up, we conclude our candidate interviews for local races with one candidate in each of two major mayoral races in our listening area. We head to Middletown, New York, where Joel Sciarra is challenging incumbent Joseph DiStefano. And in Milford Borough, Pennsylvania, we hear from Peter Cooney, who's running against Candace Mahala in the race for mayor of Milford. Those conversations are coming up in just a moment, but first we do have news from Albany, where dozens of New York State lawmakers want Governor Hochul to pick up the tab for SNAP benefits, even though court rulings ordered the Trump administration to pay up despite the shutdown. The food assistance program is still in limbo. WNYC's Jimmy Vielkind reports.
It costs about $650 million a month to send SNAP benefits to nearly 3 million New Yorkers. State Senator Jake Ashby says if the federal government won't pay it, New York State should.
It's unfortunate, you know, at the federal level that we can't come to an agreement on how to pursue this, but I believe at the state level we can.
Ashby sent a letter urging Hochul to act. It was signed by Republicans and Democrats. Other Democratic legislators signed a different letter. Hochul says it's not the state's job to fund a federal program. She's sending more than $100 million to food banks and pantries. In Albany, I'm Jimmy Vielkind for the New York Public News Network.
It's the local edition. I'm Jason Dole, and this is Election 2025. Radio Catskill's candidate interviews for key local races concludes tonight with candidates from two mayoral races. Coming up, we'll hear from the challenger in the race for mayor of Middletown, New York. We're going to start west of Middletown across the Delaware River for the mayoral race in Milford Borough, Pennsylvania, where current Mayor Doug Jacobs decided not to run after he was appointed mayor when Sean Strube resigned last year. On the ballot are two other candidates, Republican Peter Cooney and Democrat Candace Mahala. Cooney is a six-year member of the Milford Borough Council. He recently spoke with Radio Catskill's Annie Bennett.
My name's Pete Cooney from Milford Borough, Pennsylvania, running for mayor.
And what inspired you to run for mayor?
Well, I've been involved. I've been on the borough council for 6 years now. I was head of buildings, and then I went to HR, and then I negotiated the contract for the police and DPW, and then it just felt like moving on to be the mayor. There was an opening.
Yeah.
So I decided to run.
How do you think that your time on the council has influenced the lives of Milford residents?
Well, while I was on the council, I really led the charge against. There was a proposed 5G tower that would have been right in the middle of the historic district. And I really rallied the people to go against that. I didn't want that. They didn't want it. And I also, there was the old police station that it was vacant and needed a lot of work. And me and the former mayor, Sean Strube, got together and we got somebody to lease out the building for 10 years. And he did all the repairs on it. I'm sure well over $100,000 in repairs. It's now bringing in about $10,000 a year to the borough. So that was very big accomplishment on my part.
I know you said in a recent town hall meeting, there's not much that keeps me up at night other than the Milford Police Department being understaffed. So why is that issue important to you and what would you do about it as mayor?
Well, I would just continue trying to recruit. We have a chief, we have a sergeant, and we have another full-timer. And then we also have our part-timers are a lot of experience. We have one that's an officer who was retired from the state police. So we're pretty well staffed now. And the thing is, we just have to keep recruiting. I'm also on the Civil Service Commission. We run tests periodically to keep a list up. And right now, I think we're one short part-timer. I think they're going to be hiring a part-timer sooner. So pretty much recruiting. And just now we have cost certainty with the contract for the next 3 years, counting this year. So
what does that mean?
Well, the borough council used to just every year have to come up with raises and at the end of the year for the following coming up. So now we have cost certainty as far, we're pretty much going to know how much it's going to cost to run the department for the next 2 years. The borough council could be able to plan for that. We should be able to, no problem, in my opinion. And there's also grants that are applied for periodically for vehicles and also just to run a police department. So I'm just going to keep pushing to keep the funding going from the borough council. That's pretty much all I can do.
And why is that issue so important to you? Why do you feel passionately about public safety?
Well, I think Eastern Pike is one township over, actually two townships over. And they're very busy. And then we're the only other pay department besides them. So the state police are very stretched out in this part of the in Pike County. At night, you know, you have to have quick response. You need 24/7. You cannot be waiting for the state police to show up. I mean, they're very thinned out. They have to cover 84, Interstate 84. So they're very busy. So in other words, you need a local police department. We have banks in this town, a lot of businesses, a lot of small businesses, and everybody really likes having the local police department. That's very important to me.
And you've spoken out also online. I was looking at your Facebook as very pro-ICE. How do you think the community should respond to raids?
Raids?
Yes. Well,
they're going to have to, it's the law. They have to follow the law. I mean, I don't have too much jurisdiction over that.
Right. You know, so as mean, mayor, you would prioritize like cooperation with ICE? Like what sort
absolutely.
Of you would do
your
approach
I mean, that? I don't, yeah, I wouldn't even think twice. You got to cooperate with the state police, with any law enforcement you have to cooperate with.
And how would your approach to the role of mayor differ from that of councilman? Not just with public safety, but just in general. How would you sort of change your approach to government?
I think I have pretty good rapport with the public right now. People always know how to get a hold of me, and I'm always around. I'm home every night. I think I have office hours. That's one thing. I'll try to do office hours during the day and in the evening, too. Maybe at the Borough Hall or something like that, one night a week, or maybe a couple times a month. Say I'll be at the Borough Hall from 6 to 8 or something like that and try to meet people have a problem. Just stop by and we can discuss that. And, you know, that's how I do it. But as far as that, I've always been pretty well open. People could always call me. Like they always stop by my house, whatever they want to do.
Tell me more about, like, do you have any specific proposals or ideas for your platform?
No, that's about it. I'm going to try to take things 6 years, pretty much seeing what the mayor, what it takes. And I also understand the process very well, too. The mayor just oversees the police department. You don't run it, you know, sort of like a liaison between the department and the borough council. I'm not a micromanager in any way. You know what I'm saying? I trust. I've never been a cop and never going to be a cop, you know? So that's pretty much the way I'm going to look at it. But I'm just going to expect the police to do what a policeman does, you know, and they're the experts. They're the ones who went to school with it. I just have to make sure everything's followed. You know, it's not, I am no way a micromanager. I can tell you that.
So tell me more about your personal background, your relationship to Milford. Like what's your story?
Well, I moved up here in the early 70s with my family. And then I went to high school around here and everything. I moved up in like sixth grade. I've lived in the borough since 1994. So that's over 31 years. I really know what's going on. And I know a lot of people. I just know a lot of the policemen just even before I was even involved in politics, even the state policemen, stuff like that. So judges, attorneys, I know a lot of attorneys. My daughter's an attorney, state rep. I've met Mr. Olsemer and I've met them at several functions and everything like that. So commissioners, I know Matt Osterberg pretty good. So I just have a very good rapport with everybody, to be quite honest. That's my main strength, I feel, though, you know?
Yeah, and outside of public safety, what would you say are three big priorities for you as mayor?
The pedestrian crosswalks are a very big thing. You know, that's very big in this town because we've had some accidents. A lot of traffic goes through this town. This current mayor that we have, Mr. Jacobs, he's really tried to crack down on it, have sting operations, you know, stuff like that to get the people to stop at the crosswalks. We've had accidents. We have a dog killed last year, which was terrible. You know, and a resident was just walking his dog and somebody came whipping around the corner or whatever. So that's probably my main thing. We've put some speed bumps in them to slow traffic down, install more stop signs. You know, we have several roads that really are out of our control because they're state roads. The two main streets, Broad and Harford Street, are state roads. We only have one traffic light, but we have kind of like limited on what we can do, to be quite honest. And so we have to pretty much prioritize doing that. Now, you know, you're never going to be able to do work on something that you have no control over. You have to work on the things that we have control over. And like I said, the 24/7 coverage, that's the biggest thing in my opinion. But besides that, that's about it. And keep a rapport with the police department. I think they do a good job right now. As far as with the residents, I see them helping people out and everything. So that's pretty much how I want to maintain it.
And how would you represent Milford residents that maybe come from a different background or have different beliefs?
I don't have a problem with anything. It's not really my, you know, people come to me, I have no problem with anything, to be quite honest. I'll try to work with everybody. I think I've worked with everybody in this town with the 5G tower. You know, it's a small town. I don't care what they do in Washington, D.C. I don't even care what they do in Harrisburg. This is a small town. You got to do it, run it as a small town. Don't, you know what I'm saying? It's one square mile. Just take care of it, you know? And I'm not going to worry about, you know, what some politician thousands of miles away cares about stuff. We got to worry about Milford Borough. Mm-hmm. That's the way I look at it.
So with people that are coming from a different party in Milford or things like that, do you have any?
I don't care about that. Yeah, I'm just going to try to do my thing, be quite honest. I've pretty much been run my own campaign. You don't see me touting. You know, I've had grassroots support since the beginning with the council. I could go on forever with that kind of stuff.
What do you think of the state of Milford's economy? How will you help increase affordability?
That's nothing I can do about that. I mean, that's Milford's always been, what do you call it? Almost like a bedroom community. I never worked around here. I'm a union butcher down in New Jersey. So in other words, I always, as far as bringing jobs in, there's not only so much to do. It's mostly just hospitality and small businesses right in the borough itself. You know, Milford Township has some room for expansion. The commercial district with the big box stores is 4 or 5 miles away down Westfall Township. So that's what they're up against. You know what I mean? It's kind of hard to compete with that, and even nationwide. You know, that's the problem there. Mostly this town, it's a great influx of buildings, of historic buildings. People put a lot of money even in the smallest structures to make them look beautiful. That's the one strength of this town. I'd like to keep that going. Mm-hmm. You see people renovating all over, even now. Even when times are tough, they're renovating around here. Yeah, but as far as affordability, I don't see it changing anytime in the future. You know, that's just my opinion.
No.
I don't see jobs getting any better either, besides hospitality, and I really can't see it.
Okay. And online, you spoke out against the No Kings protest recently. You called the marchers King's clowns. What were your specific objections to the protest?
Well, first of all, when they had the one in June, they were supposed to only march from the traffic light to their headquarters on Broad Street. And they totally disregarded that. They signed a permit, and then they were on both sides of the street, all kinds of stuff, encouraging people. Then this last one, too, yelling at passing cars, up and down the sidewalks. We don't need that. Take some other consideration. I had many complaints from businesses, especially from the June one, blocking their entrances to the store on the day before. It was like the day before Father's Day, a busy weekend, a beautiful weekend. You know, and to me, that's just unnecessary. You know, they have the right to. I'm not going to say they don't have the right to, but we have the right to survive, too. You got to think everybody in a small town.
What has sort of been your approach to campaigning? You mentioned that you were mostly grassroots. I'd love to sort of talk about like the history of your campaign and how you're feeling about the upcoming election.
Well, I've gone door to door somewhat, and then I've also advertised some on Facebook. I've passed out flyers. I put out some signs, lawn signs, stuff like that. I haven't spent that much money, really, to be quite honest. It's going to come down to the wire. You know, I mean, it really, you know, my opponent has a lot of support. But I can't really worry about that. I'll be on the council either way, too. So, and I have a day job. So if I win, I win, you know?
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the direction of the Republican Party?
Trump's in charge. I mean, as far as locally, everything seems to be pretty good. I think the country in general is swinging around the right way again. So, you know, everybody has a voice. I don't see why people don't think they have a voice. And I think everybody makes a pretty good living. You know, that's one of my objections, too, to people carrying on all the time. I think the Republican Party, you know, they could do things a little bit better, in my opinion. And I don't care for a lot of the stuff, too. I think there's a lot of, on both sides, I think there's a lot of, you know, ball breakings that I think that could curtail that for the good of the country. But besides that, you know, I guess that's how the way they want to do it.
Is there any message you'd like to give to voters before they go out to the polls?
Yeah, let's keep it local. I think I'm the candidate that's going to keep it local. And keep the police in here, the guy that you want. That's the way I look at it. I've experienced locally and worked with other municipalities. So I think that helps in the long run, too. I'm against the sewer. That's another thing.
Yeah, tell me more about that. I know that's been something you've been pretty outspoken about.
Oh, yeah, that's a boondoggle. I could go on for half an hour about that. You know, it's not even the plan. It's going to cost people a lot of money, no matter what's been said in meetings or whatever. By the time that thing goes through, would be a lot of money if it's even feasible, to be quite honest. But in the meantime, we're throwing money at it. I mean, there's studies that have to be done and DEP reports and this and that. I'm just glad that I voted no. Let me put it that way. That and the EIT, everybody took a 1% pay cut. Not everybody, though, because if you know earned income tax, you know what that is?
Yeah.
A lot of people die. People don't have to pay it. Landlords don't pay. Speaking of Kings, that's the Kings tax, as far as I'm concerned. 1% of the work. If you're an hourly worker, you know, that's what that was. So I took a 1% pay cut over time. When you think of it, it's a lot more than 1%, too. It's 1% of your gross, and then you figure out at the bottom and how much it's getting you. So every time you get a raise, take 1% off. Every hour of overtime, think of that. You know, even Trump got rid of the overtime, not Milford Borough. You know, not Milford Borough with EIT, they're still going to get their 1%. You know what I'm saying? So what can I tell you? I'm totally against that, and I think a lot of people are, too.
There's a lot of distrust in politics right now. How do you help reassure people about their government working for them?
I don't know what to tell you. Keep an eye on them. That's all. You know, that's what I do. That's just the way it is. That's politics, you know. I'm not going to change that. I can tell you that. I can just try to blow the whistle on it when I can.
And all right, so last question then. Why should voters vote for you over your opponent for Milford Borough Mayor?
Just experience locally. I think my approach to the police department and my local approach and one-on-one, and not that I'm a micromanager, and I think I'm going to go after the problems, not make problems. I'm going to let the experience of the police department, like I said, I'm just going to oversee what they do. And I got, that's another thing too, with the whole thing about being mayor. We have a recreation committee. We have zoning, you know, we have all kinds of committees and that take care of the other stuff. As mayor, I'm just there to oversee the police department and break a tie. I think a lot of people don't realize that. And I've been on 6 years. I've only been a couple of times I had to break a tie, and it was never on a big issue. It was never on the sewer or anything like that. You know, so in other words, you know, you can campaign that you're going to do this and that, but I can tell you right now, you're not going to be able to do this and that. It's just, that's just the way it is. And so I'm going to do what is in my job description. And I think I pretty much learned that pretty good.
All right. Anything else you want to add?
No, that's about it.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Yeah, if you ever need anything, you let me know, all right?
From Liberty, I'm Annie Bennett for Radio Catskill.
Thank you, Annie. Speaking with Peter Cooney, Republican candidate for mayor in Milford, we reached out to his opponent, Democrat Candace Mahala, for an interview, but did not receive a response. I did read an interview with her on the issue of policing and safety. Mahala told the Pike County Courier, quote, "Proper staffing, training, and equipment don't come cheap and is why careful planning is so important. These are my strengths in my professional life. I've led budget forecasting and strategic planning teams for nearly 20 years. I look forward to putting those skills to work in Milford and rely on an independent police department on duty 24/7. End quote from Candace Mahala, Democratic candidate for mayor of Milford, Pennsylvania. Now, on to Middletown, New York, where voters are choosing between long-serving incumbent Joseph DeStefano, Democrat, and his challenger, Joel Sierra, running under the Time for Change line. Sierra is a former firefighter, business owner, and current Orange County legislator. He recently spoke with Radio Catskill's Andy Bennett.
My name is Joel Sierra. I'm your current legislator for the District 20, which has encompassed the city of Middletown. I'm a former alderman for the city of Middletown. I did almost 10 years on the Common Council. I was also a lieutenant with the city of Middletown Fire Department. Recently retired due to an on-the-job injury. And I'm a local business owner, lifelong Middletown resident, born and raised.
And how do you think that extensive background has prepared you for the role of mayor?
Like I said, I'm ingrained in the Middletown culture. I've been here my entire life. I understand Middletown. I understand its needs. I've actually helped the community on several different occasions when Hurricane Lee and Irene came through here. I've responded to many emergencies in Middletown. Like I said, I was on the Common Council, 8 years of which I was the finance chairman. I understand the issues. I understand what it takes to fix them. I've been here my entire life.
Is there something from your career that you're particularly proud of?
Public service. Being a firefighter, responding to people in times of need, and seeing them when they need you most, it just brings you joy to help other people.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I want to get into some specific policy stuff. I was looking at your website, your platform, and you say that you really want to improve affordability without contributing to gentrification. How do you balance that?
Well, affordability and affordable housing is probably the number one issue nationwide. I think it's attacking New York a little bit more and Orange County, especially Middletown. Right now, the mayor's proposing to give away almost 300 acres in the old Psych Center grounds. Many old buildings, hospital buildings, which have been vacant for many years, we're giving them away for as little as a dollar in the highest real estate market in history. And it doesn't make sense. There's such a housing need in Middletown. We can convert those buildings into, you know, senior housing, affordable co-ops, condos, even apartments. But he's proposing to put a school there. And my question is, you know, what's the difference between 1,000 students and 500 families that are already here in Middletown? We're bringing in students from around the world, which is nice, but we already have a bunch of colleges here in Middletown. We have Touro College, now University. We have OCC that's been here for 75 years. OCC is desperately looking for new buildings, desperately looking to expand its programs. And we haven't even sat down with AHCC and say, hey, can you utilize these buildings? Can we turn these buildings into facilities where, you know, we can teach other students the entire community, not just one certain aspect of this community, you know? So I really think affordable housing is top priority. It should be top priority for Middletown. The mayor's been against affordable housing for the 40 years he's been in office. He has a long history of fighting RECAP, fighting Habitat for Humanity and organizations like that. So I don't think even now he's against affordable housing. As of yesterday, they had a meeting where he says they don't want high density housing. Well, high density housing could be student housing too. It just doesn't mean apartments. But right now we're in a crisis where people are getting evicted from their homes. People need a place to live, and we need to address that.
You also said that infrastructure is a big platform of yours. What are some specific infrastructure changes that you'd like to make?
Even today, we got several inches of rain. The streets that are flooding, I'm getting calls from constituents and residents saying, hey, my street is still flooding. You know, our city's old, and I understand that we're trying to patch up our infrastructure, our water system, our sewer system. I know we have a brand new sewer treatment plant and a brand new water treatment plant, but our pipes, our sewers, our streets, our sidewalks are terrible. Just walking throughout this campaign, several volunteers of mine, including myself, we trip and fall on these sidewalks, you know, and we've been focused on downtown for just too many years and neglecting the rest of our city. I think we need to focus more on our neighborhoods that are paying the taxes here in city and make those our priority from now on.
So speaking of taxes, looking at the city budget as mayor, how would you want to reallocate the budget differently than it has been in years past?
There's a lot of misspending in City Hall. Like I said, I was finance chairman for 8 years. You see some of the salaries in City Hall are just astronomical. There's people in the city of Middletown, which is 4 square miles, that are making more than the governor of New York State. You know, we need to change that. We need to allocate those funds to our police, to our firefighters, to our staff, the ones that are actually working and making a difference on the streets, not just allocate those funds to a certain group of people. You know, so that's one way. Also, if you start putting more houses and more apartment buildings and more senior living, those properties will pay taxes, which will contribute to the infrastructure. It'll contribute to the budget. You know, right now you have a very limited area in Middletown to build. We're surrounded by the town of Walk Hill. So the lots we have and the area we have for building should be considered for housing. That's going to contribute to the budget.
And so you mentioned police. What is your approach to police and public safety?
Well, the police are doing a great job. I worked hand in hand with the police department when I was with the fire department. So I understand the guys that are working for the police department, and they're in a tough position. They're overworked. They're doing over 40,000 calls. Some of these guys can't take a lunch. They can't take a dinner break. They're going from call to call to call to call, you know, and it's exhausting for them. It's exhausting for them. If you look at the numbers, they're not too far off from the numbers they had 40 years ago when the mayor took office back in 83. You have to keep up with our times. You know, he says crime is down 50%. Well, it depends on who's doing the numbers. If they're not reporting the crime, then it, of course, is down. But we can't keep putting our head in the sand with these shootings that are taking place in Middletown, you know, and it doesn't reflect poorly on the police department in no way, but they need the resources. If they're going to so many calls and if you have 4 cops on a shift on a weekend, they can only handle a certain amount of volume.
And you talked about adding mental health response as well.
Mental health is a huge component. Ever since the psych center closed down many years ago, a lot of these people have been not handled correctly, and our jails are becoming one of the biggest mental health facilities out there. You know, we need to have more social workers, more advocates to work with these people that, you know, to give them the help that they need.
And you selected term limits as your primary platform to run on. It says, you know, electoral Sierra 4 term limits. It's the first thing listed on your website. Why make that your core issue?
Well, anytime you have someone in office for that many years, like I said, from 1983, he claims he left office for a few short years there. That's when he was indicted. He had no other choice but to leave office. But, you know, it just breeds corruption. It just breeds complacency. And it shouldn't take place, not here in Middletown. It shouldn't take place in Washington. How would our residents feel if Donald Trump was in office for 40 years? This is the same scenario. They're cut from the same cloth. No politician should be in office that long. And he's been attacking me on several issues, but the case is I've never stayed in office that long. I was an alderman. I'm a legislator. I'm moving on. And that should be with every elected official.
Yeah, and you mentioned some of the attacks. I do want to address that, if that's all right with you. You've been criticized for poor attendance at council meetings.
Correct.
What is your response for that?
He's criticizing me that I didn't attend meetings. Well, the truth of the matter is I attended the meetings virtually. I couldn't drive. I sustained an on-the-job injury. I sustained a traumatic brain injury at the fire department. And just like any other situation, you know, if you have a seizure right now, the first thing they do is take your license away because you're a danger to other people. So just because I couldn't drive, I couldn't make it to the meetings, doesn't mean I wasn't attending the meetings. Doesn't mean I wasn't versed on the issues. I was talking to my caucus members. I was talking to constituents. I was home. I had a laptop. Just like me and you are here via Zoom, you know, we're living in a digital era. Just because I wasn't present at the actual meeting doesn't mean I wasn't knowing what was going on or wasn't informed and couldn't do my job as a legislator. Being a firefighter is a completely, totally different job than being a legislator. You know, so he's attacking me on attendance, and it's just one more fear tactic to get his votes.
So the meetings that he's alleging you missed, you're saying you were there attending virtually?
Yes. Meetings I either attended virtually, they are online. You know, we did have some issues where they weren't able to connect properly, but all the meetings are on the website. Now they're streaming them via Facebook Live. So there were several avenues, you know, that you can attend these meetings.
I see.
We're living in a digital era.
Yeah. And you also called for opening investigation against Mayor Stefano for no bid contracts. I'm not super familiar with that term. And so tell me about that call to investigate.
Just recently, when I started mentioning these things and bringing it up during the campaign, has he opened up these meetings for the Sykes Undergrounds, these buildings that have been vacant for many years. But most of these buildings have been given away for as little as a dollar, you know, and my thought process is everyone should have an opportunity to bid on these buildings. Every organization, every race, every ethnicity, you know, these are hundreds of millions of dollars in buildings. They don't make brick buildings anymore like this. And to give them away for a dollar, I understand they were underutilized or vacant for some time, and they say they have asbestos. If you look at any apartment complex, they have to invest millions of dollars into buildings to make them, you know, to make apartments. But when you have a building that's already in existence, to retrofit that building costs a lot less. But if you're not putting them out to bid and you're just giving away these buildings, something's wrong there. It just doesn't seem right to me.
Right. So what would the motivation for a politician to not let them be up for bid?
I don't know. But in my mind, it breeds corruption. If I told you today, hey, I'm going to give you a $10 million building for a dollar, are you going to say no? You can go on the street and ask anyone. Hey, I'm going to give you a free house. I'm going to give you a free building. I've been approached by contractors. I've been approached by developers. I've been approached by investors in the city of Middle. They're saying, what's going on? Everyone's questioning what's going on. And they understand politics. They understand how things have been going on for the last 40 years here in Middletown. And people are sick of it. And that's why we're coming up with the slogan, it's time for a change.
Why should residents vote for you over your opponents for mayor?
Well, like I said, I don't plan on being the mayor forever. I don't plan on being there for 40 years. I wanted to reinstitute because at one time we did have term limits that we got rid of. He accuses me of voting for term limits. And the truth of the matter is he asked me to support the vote for abolishing term limits. This was 15 years ago. And now I have a right to change my mind. I know I made a mistake 15 years ago and we need to correct that mistake. I want to lead the charge on correcting that mistake. But like I said, I was born and raised here in City Middletown. And I want to do the right thing for our residents. I want to bring our city back to where it should be and allow other people to run for offices, not just the same group of people day in and day out with the same mentality. You know, no one questions what they're doing on the common council. No one questions the mayor. How dare you run against the mayor? You know, he's taking this as a personal attack. Well, this is still America. People are allowed to run for office, you know, and they're turning it around as this, oh my God, we're doing something so evil, so dangerous. Well, you know, people have a right to run for office here, everyone.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time.
That was Time for Change candidate Joel Sierra speaking with Annie Bennett. We did reach out to incumbent Mayor Joseph DeStefano for an interview, but did not receive a response. That is it for the Local Edition. I'm Jason Dole. Join me right here tomorrow night for a special hour-long election night special live with Patricio Arbayo, Kimberly Izar, and Genevieve Hartnett right here in studio with me and our news partners checking in from the field. All of Radio Catskills election coverage is up now at wjffradio.org/election2025. This is Radio Catskill.